Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I don't know when you're listening to this. It's a gray, rainy, miserable day, but we have a bit of spring, a bit of sunshine in the recording studio with us today. If you're enjoying the background music, that's because we're recording from Milan, and the opening ceremonies are underway of the annual meeting of SBGAN. We're taking the opportunity, as podcast interviewers and recorders, to pick out the raisins from the loaf. That is to say, the interesting, the challenging, the informative presentations and their presenters, and to conduct podcast interviews with them. So today I am delighted to be able to tell you that across the table from me, in a yellow jacket that is spring itself, is the full professor of pediatrics at the University of Granada, Cristina Campoy, who has made her career and taught us so much about diet and obesity, and in particular, the diet of the mother and how it influences the predisposition or lack of predisposition to obesity of the children that she bears. Cristina, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for this kind invitation.
Let's start with what I think is some of the earliest work done in maternal nutrition, and outcomes in the infant. The famine years in Holland, in the Netherlands. How long ago is that? My gosh, we're coming up on 70 years ago. That's 70 years since those women went through immense, immense poverty of nutrition, and 70 years that we've been looking at how their babies fared. Can you use that as a jumping off place to introduce our audience to the topic?
Yes, of course. In 1945, there was a hungry time in Holland, and just after the Second World War. And there was there one obstetrician, brilliant obstetrician, who decided to record what was happening to the pregnant woman when they were having only a little amount of food per day, very, very much little, almost around 200 or 300 kilocalories.
No, so little is that.
Wow. Yeah. So he was trying to address and to record what was happening there. And after a couple of months or years, he decided to analyze these effects. And he found very interesting issues, because interesting outcome, because he noticed that it was different if the mothers have this hungry time in the first trimester of pregnancy or in the middle of pregnancy or at the end of pregnancy. So the consequences were different.
How did they differ?
Yes, because the problem is that when you have a nutritional restriction in the first trimester, the fetus are in the embryonic phase, so are really very, very sensible. Or is a critical moment mm-hmm. for the development of organs and systems. And then when the hungry time it is, or the restriction it is earlier, the consequences are worsened for the future baby. And but it was just very curious, because it was different. There are also very bad consequences if you have a nutritional restriction at the end of pregnancy, for example. In that moment, if that's happened, then you could have a baby with a high risk to develop obesity and other metabolic diseases like hypertension or other issues.
It sounds like that baby is staying hungry and eating more than it needs to.
Yes, the fetus in that conditions adapted itself to resist this nutritional restriction. So in the fetus develop a phenotype of to solve this problem, and this adaptation, which become to maybe can be seen as an advantage, becomes a disadvantage after birth. Because the fetus has been adapted to this condition, and after birth, if the baby has all the food or the nutrition he needs, then it will be very, it's not adapted for the full nutrition. So he begins to do a very fast catch-up growth, and then that means a rapid catch-up. What that means? That means that there is an intense production of cells in the adipose tissue. The number of cells increases so much. It's not only that the baby just weight has a bigger weight gain. It's not that. It's the weight gain is based on not only in the cells in the adipose tissue it has, but also increases the number of cells in the adipose tissue. So the risk to develop later obesity is very high.
Wait, I have to stop you here. I'm going to tell you an anecdote. It's just an anecdote, but one of my godsons was born at 22 weeks gestation. And that boy, now nearly 30 years old, has never had an ounce of fat on him. He was no more than a skinned rabbit when he was born, and he's never gone beyond that. So that young man, in the last trimester equivalent period, ought to have been throwing calories on like nobody's business, but he doesn't seem to have had an increase in fat cells. So this is an adaptation that might be restricted to the intrauterine. Just the laying down of fatty tissue. Sorry.
Yeah. It's not exactly that. The question is that, as I mentioned, it depends when the nutritional restriction happened.
Okay.
So at the end of pregnancy, all adipose cells in the fetus become also to be replicated very fast. So it's just in the last trimester. Exactly. Yeah. So if a baby born prematurely, but has grown correctly till these 22 weeks, or which is very, very small, maybe 28 weeks or something like that, then it will not have any problem regarding obesity. But anyway, if a baby born prematurely and has had also a nutritional restriction within pregnancy during this period, and has also a low birth weight for gestational age.
Bad placentation, yeah.
Exactly. So if it has this problem, then it is also at a risk of obesity. Okay. All babies who have who born with a low gestational weight for gestational age, all these are also at a risk of obesity. So babies who are premature or are born at term but with low birth weight for gestational age are at risk of obesity. Then all babies who has a nutritional restriction at the end of pregnancy are at risk also to develop later on obesity.
Well, this then was, I think, duplicated in animal work, although it took 10 years or 15 years before that happened. And since then, we have animal models now for this set of phenomena. And I'm sure that much work has been done in attempting to dissect out from this complex environment individual components, perhaps even micronutrients, that can facilitate this process or can slow this process of gaining too much weight after birth. That is, during the pregnancy, if you feed a mom this or that, then maybe she won't be at such risk of developing. But tell us more. Here we go.
I just wanted to address that this is not just a question that you are becoming obese or not. Mm-hmm. It is a global problem because the programming effect of by nutrition during pregnancy damage all the organs and all the system, metabolic system, which are growing up.
Yes.
And then we have found also not only in those babies who born with low birth weight for gestational age, but also those who born to obese or diabetic mothers, who born with high large weight for gestational age. So that's we have the two extreme. If you born with low birth weight, or if you born with high birth weight, larger than normal, then you have a problem later on.
Undernutrition or overnutrition.
Exactly. So the question is that there are many different situations and problems with the micronutrients or certain determined nutrients. The mother condition, maternal condition, it is very important as well. If the mother is malnourished, then the baby may be malnourished intrauterine, so we will have the first situation. If the mother is obese or has a gestational diabetes, this baby, this fetus, is receiving alongside the pregnancy a high amount of nutrients and glucose and so on. And then also determine changes in the metabolic pathways in which is growing up on, and developing and in all organs.
Well, this is the perfect moment at which to introduce your particular work. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading now, maternal body weight and gestational diabetes differentially influence placental and pregnancy outcomes. Take it away, doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that true? So you have...
Tell us about the study. I'm really fascinated to have your input into exactly how this study was assembled and how you interpret the results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we performed a study in obese and overweight and gestational diabetic mothers, and we follow up the children up to 88 years old. And there were some kind of many results regarding these processes in different areas. What we have found, for example, it is that there were some kind of epigenetics changes and gene expression in the placenta in these pregnancies who condition the nutrients transfer to the fetus. And the placenta at the beginning, when a woman is obese, try to control or to modify the nutrients accumulation and how the nutrients are transferred to the fetus. And in the first stage, the placenta is able to control more or less what is happening. But then if the mother becomes is already very obese, or if develops a gestational diabetes, these systems at the placenta doesn't work anymore. So then we have seen that there are some kind of proteins and who are overexpressed or downexpressed, and with this, the regulation by the placenta disappear, and several problems happen to the baby who could be not only receiving maybe too much of glucose, but then low amount, for example, of folic acid. Uh-huh. Or low amount of other important nutrients.
It's okay. A lot more than glucose, and there's a lot more micronutrients.
Exactly.
Whose transport
exactly.
is being influenced in a way that has an adverse outcome in the fetus.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's... Now, what about modifications in the rest of the conceptus? You've talked about methylation changes in the placenta, but what about in the baby?
Okay, so it seems that the physiologically nature is very intelligent. So what we have seen, and now in recent studies, also other studies have demonstrated that even that situation, that wrong situation and worse situation for the baby, the baby still is able to control. And even when the baby is born, just in the first year of life, there is a mechanism, a physiological mechanism, to turn to the right, to the normal situation.
This is partly reversible.
Exactly. It's partially reversible. There are some changes which remain, but some of them can be reversed with nutrition, postnatal nutrition, and also with the other careful.
But here you are, you've made your way into the engine room. Mm-hmm. You have all of the levers and the buttons and the dials in front of you. That is, you just need to find out how to make the levers shift position in order, using perhaps a dietary modification or even a drug, in the newborn infant at risk for developing obesity because of the history of the pregnancy. This is magic.
Yes, it's magic, but it's not so magic. The question is that during the first year, the organism tried to go to the normal situation.
Right.
But you cannot see the effect of what has happened in intrautero after you have to wait, and the effects are being seen later on during childhood or adulthood.
I still think it's marvelous.
Exactly.
Even if you have to wait for Christmas, it's still Christmas.
Exactly. You have to stay to wait. So the question is that there are some, for example, pregnant women which are obese. We have seen how they are depleted in folic acid at the end of pregnancy.
Yeah.
They have a lot of problems with, also some problems with fatty acids, long chain fatty acid.
Yeah.
And even if they used to have a lot of food, but the food is not of good quality, and also because the own illness. And there is also a fascinating issue which is also linked to nutrition. It is the gut microbiota. Maternal obesity is also associated to a dysbiosis in the mother. And then this is...
And whose bugs does the baby pick up? The mother's.
Exactly. So the baby will receive this dysbiotic flora
yeah.
And the imprinting of the gut, it will be also dysbiotic in principle. And there are some problems around that, and now we know that there is also some kind of effects regarding nutrition during pregnancy and also after postnatal nutrition that should be taken care. We should be taking care also about the gut microbiota to succeed with the nutrition implementation or the nutrition approaches we want to address or we want to design.
Professor Kampoy.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're almost making me regret that I went into liver work rather than into nutrition and maternal-fetal medicine in this regard.
Yeah.
There's so much to say. You have so much to tell us, and we have so little time. We have to end, I'm afraid, by asking you for a contract. Wait, there's more, says Professor Kampoy, her finger raised. What's going on? What else do you want to tell us?
I want to just address one thing more. People have to know that to be obese during pregnancy or even worse, if you develop gestational diabetes, it's not only what we see macros in your phenotype. If you develop obesity or not. Inside the body of these infants, you have also other problems, like, for example, neurodevelopmental problems.
Okay.
So the brain is also damaged in some way. And we have seen how babies born to obese mothers or with gestational diabetes has some problems in the development, for example, behavioral problems. Mm-hmm. Some of them also associated to later mental diseases, and also they have some cognitive problems in the development. Okay. So
we're not going to go so far as to say that there was a generation of distorted, twisted Dutch children.
Exactly.
No, we're not going to go there.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So, but we need to control the maternal, the diet of the mother. We should recommend to lose weight before to become pregnant. Okay, just to lose 4 kilos, for instance, before to become pregnant, decreases the risk to develop gestational diabetes in 30%. So it's very important that the mother prepare the pregnancy losing weight before, because within pregnancy is not the moment to lose weight. Mothers do not use the pregnancy to lose weight, because in that moment the fetus is growing up, and if they do a very restrictive diet, then it will damage the baby.
Okay? Thank you.
That's the final.
But we're not done yet. We're not done yet. What song have you chosen to remind us of Grenada? You're a Grenadian, are you not? Born
yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, I select a song which makes me dance just after here. So it is Tacones Rojos from Sebastián Yatra. Anytime I hear this, I begin to dance, and because of that, I select it.
Okay, folks, get up out of your chairs. It's going to be a lovely, lovely change.
If you would like to listen to the song, check out our Spotify playlist, Espigan's Favorite Songs.
Thank you for taking part in the Espigan podcast series. We've really enjoyed having you here.
Thank you very much.